You ever get the feeling that everything in America is completely up?
Now, they're saying I should think stuff.
Something is wrong with me.
To be so cynical.
Practice.
Yeah, all right, awesome. So we just stay on the 5 here, straight to Disneyland.
22 miles.
All right.
As you just heard, we are doing this podcast live on the road to Disneyland today. I am joined by a few friends and trying to navigate the LA interstate system at rush hour. There really should be a visual to go along with this podcast. It would be great. But I am joined, like I said, by friends. I've got a few returning guests. Let me introduce them first. First, longtime viewer listeners will remember Sean from episode 3, 4. I don't remember which one. But my friend Sean, who he was on the show talking about falling in love with a girl from Australia and making the crazy jump to move halfway around the world. Sean, welcome back.
Thanks. It's good to be back on the podcast and back in the US of A.
That goes without saying. Next to Sean is the woman that we discussed.
The infamous.
Everyone wants to talk about me.
Sean's wife, Haley. Haley, welcome to the podcast. Welcome to America.
Thank you. I'm very excited to contribute. I hope everyone can understand what I'm saying.
Probably not. If you can't understand Haley, just someone with an American accent will jump in a little bit later.
We'll subtitle it.
Yes, there will be subtitles on the... Send in a self-addressed stamped envelope. I will send you a transcript of this podcast. The address will come up later. In front of me in the car, we have Eric. He was on the show discussing fandom, which is kind of why we brought him back for a second appearance. Eric, how's life?
I'm loving it. I'm a little tired from San Diego, and I wish I was going to another convention, but Disneyland is going to more than make up for my coming down from Comic-Con. So, tired, but cannot wait to talk about it.
Yes, Disneyland will be just like Comic-Con. We'll be standing in line for hours.
more lines, guys.
Yeah.
Awesome.
More lines than Whitney Houston's coffee table. And no! And our driver navigating the freeway system, Eric's wife, Johnny. Johnny, how's traffic up there? Can we get a quick update?
It's slowing down a little bit right now. It was pretty smooth sailing up until now, but we're moving at least, so I'm thankful for that.
Okay. Yeah.
We're all right.
We have a speed limit of 65, and we're doing at least 10.
Yeah.
So that's good.
Yeah, we're doing 6.5.
You know, we don't want to hit 88 just to be safe.
Yeah.
Coming back from Comic-Con, you never know.
Yes. Yeah, there's going to be lots of nerd references on the show because we're discussing Comic-Con, the San Diego Comic-Con International Fruits and Vegetable Display. I don't know what I'm saying. But my guess.
We got everything.
And vegetables.
Oh, yeah. There's a vegetable up in the passenger seat right now.
Water, Pepsi, fruit.
You name
dogs.
It.
But my guests have just returned from a 5-day week-long, which, yes, there are 7 days in a week, but whatever, 5-day trip to San Diego for the yearly Comic-Con convention, which is redundant because con stands for convention. So I have brought them on to discuss their obsession with the Comic-Con, because Eric has been there 15 times. Sean, how long did you guys say you had been?
I've been 6. This is my 6th time there.
And Haley?
That was my 3rd time this year.
Okay.
Lucky number 3.
Yeah.
And what was your comment? Because I really like this joke, and I know we weren't recording before, but I want to get this joke in.
I say many people are returning from Comic-Con with their virginity in mint condition.
Well, yes, but first you said... This was my 6th.
Oh, yeah. I ruined the joke.
You ruined the joke.
We did it perfect before. so obviously we've all been several times, minimum of 3, maximum now of 13 or 14 for those guys. So none of us are Comic-Con virgins.
Which is ironic because at Comic-Con, there are probably a lot of virgins.
Yeah, true, yeah.
And then the joke that Sean just said before,
Yes, everybody coming back in mint condition, still in the package.
Yeah. Untouched. 9.0, you know, rating, perfect condition.
It's going to be one of those episodes. So, let's get into Comic-Con. As we're discussing about lines and whatnot, the things have changed since my last time at Comic-Con. Now to get into Hall H, which is the big auditorium and the big panel, you have to stand in line and get a wristband the day before. Tell me again how long you stood in line to get a Saturday wristband.
Eric. It would be... It was 15 hours. So we've actually been to Hall H where when Force Awakens was there, it was a two-day line. Thankfully, this was a one-day line, but it was 15 hours. So 6 a.m., same day at 10:30 at night, you have a wristband. That's how long it took, and we have people taking shifts so that you can get breaks and have fun. So it's not one person sitting in line for that long. We actually hired someone to stand in line for us to make it easier. So it's not any one of us sitting there for 15 hours. That's what it takes.
Okay, so my question would then be, why would you spend 15 hours in hopes of getting, because I'm sure there are people who are in line that didn't get passes, and so you've just wasted a full day, although, like you said, if you trade off, you're not wasting the entire day, but what is the fascination with getting into a place, which for someone like me who doesn't have this fandom, doesn't understand, you know, I was following along online over the weekend, and it seemed like every hour they were updating, websites were updating with what just happened at Comic-Con. There's video out there. Why the need or want to be there in person?
Well, I can speak and say it's mostly social. So we're hanging out in a big group. We're having fun. We're helping each other out. We're talking about stuff. We're catching up with each other. Some of the people that we see down there we haven't seen since the last year. There's a lot of laughter. A lot of stories. There's a lot of talk about what we're going to see. And getting into the hall, which we can talk about later, there's stuff that they show that they do not release online. So, yeah, there's some standard trailers they release. But you're not there with that energy, that noise, and with some of that footage. Black Panther showed stuff that's not online. And Marvel's biggest movie, probably ever, Infinity War, is not online. So that's just two examples of stuff you can't see, unless you're physically there. And that's enough for me to go.
Okay. And for me, again, okay, so it's not online now, but are these trailers, is it the trailer that is going to be shown in the theater before a movie coming up?
Sometimes. But sometimes it's like little sneak peeks of different little clips from whatever they're showing. Things like that.
Yeah. It could be blooper reels. It could be. And then one thing that happens in Hall H, it's not talked about a lot, is that there's a lot of random moments. There's a lot of fan interaction. Not fan interactions, but a lot of cast interactions and stories and joking around and personal stories. And it's like a rock concert. There's a lot of stuff they're doing with the video boards in there that's brand new. There's a lot of stuff they give away. So if you're watching YouTube on your phone, you're not getting swag from the panels. That's all part of that experience. And you're having fun with your friends. It cannot be understated. It's a real social thing. It's not you just sitting there watching videos.
I would also liken it to like a sports event or something like that. Like you can easily sit at home and watch a game of football on your TV. But it's obviously going to be more fun to be there because of the atmosphere. And I think it's similar in that way, like what Eric was saying, it's a social thing. It's atmosphere, it's the cheering, and, you know, it's exactly the same to me as, like, watching something on TV at home, like a sports game, not being as exciting as actually being there with all the fans.
Yeah, it's true. It is a huge, like, social thing. I mean, the energy that you get from the crowd and, like, the people that show up, like, look, I'm not the biggest fan of the stuff that Zack Snyder has done with, you know, the DC characters and stuff. But, you know, to see Ben Affleck and Gal Gadot come in and Jason Momoa and these guys come in, you can't help but feel that energy and be like, wow, this is awesome, you know? And these guys, you know, these are big stars and they're coming out here to, you know, show their love and support. And obviously they're hyping their movie, but, you know, they're taking time to come there to all these people. They answer questions, they banter and stuff. And there's this energy that you just can't replicate watching it at home, you know, on TV or on your computer or on your phone or whatever.
Okay. And bringing up the cast being there kind of goes back into my next cynical point of the panels. You know, I've lived in Los Angeles for the last 10 years. I've been to several Q&As or, you know, screen panels. I've been also past Comic-Cons where you have this thing. And to me, it's the conversation that happens between the cast and crew or the director is very generic in a sense to where, you know, like right now there are rumors of going around that Ben Affleck may be replaced as the Batman. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if he addressed this at all.
Yeah, he talked about that. He tried to instill confidence in the crowd that he loves playing that character, that he's always been down with that, and he's all aboard. But it sounds to me like he's one and done. He didn't really say he's going to stick with it for very long. So,
and we'll just stick with Justice League because since that's what we've been talking about. For me as a fan, like kind of like what you were saying, Sean, I'm not a Zack Snyder fan. And when I saw the trailer for Justice League, I just went, wow, that looks very Zack Snyder-y. After seeing Wonder Woman and being impressed with Wonder Woman, to me, Justice League looks like a step back to Batman v Superman. But I'm sure when they were talking about it, no one was being like, you know what? We were really hoping Ben would have been directing this movie, you know, the Academy Award winner, not this guy. But most conversations are just like, oh, no, it's really great. You know, the script's really good. You guys are really going to love this movie. And so to me, it's like, how much of that is authentic and how much is just lip service to try to get people to go out and buy, you know, the merchandise?
Ooh, yeah, of course. They're not going to say anything detrimental to making money for their
movie. That's what I'm saying. Is like, why then sit in a panel and just hear something that you can probably predict what they're going to say anyway?
Yeah, well, I think I would start out, you know, because I mean, like you and I, we've both worked in Hollywood, we've worked in television and for big studios and stuff like that. So, I mean, no one sets out to make something bad. You know, I think everyone goes in with good intentions. And having said that, of course, they're going to,
I would question that sometimes.
Well,
some of the stuff I've seen.
Yeah, well, you know, I would say the big studios probably don't intentionally do that. And like Eric was saying, you know, I think Ben Affleck to me, I actually like Ben Affleck. I do, but I felt like everything he was saying was really PR.
Still waiting on Moonraker to come out?
Yeah. It was all like PR, like damage controls type stuff. I think... Gal Gadot coming in, obviously she's kind of a rock star now because, like you were saying, Wonder Woman did phenomenal. I think it was they easily could have messed up that character, but I think they did a great job with that. And so, you know, that's kind of a new thing for her. She seemed genuinely excited. Jason Momoa is kind of, I mean, we all know him kind of from Game of Thrones and stuff, but, like, you know, Aquaman's a character that most people, you know,
see on Game of Thrones or
yeah, he was on yeah, he was on Game of Thrones, yeah.
Okay, yeah, I thought he was.
He's Carl Drogo, I think. Mr. Drogo, Carl.
I actually want to interject. Sorry to interrupt, Sean. One thing you said is that this is a Hall H moment. When Gal Gadot shows up, that energy, that noise, a lot was coming from men, a lot was coming from women.
Yeah.
And with that movie and how it turned around DC from a PR point of view, feeling that is just something you don't get anywhere else at any convention anywhere. And that piggybacks on your experience watching Wonder Woman, talking to your friends about Wonder Woman. I think almost just her being there is worth that. Yeah, they're going to talk about what they're promoting, all that, but her showing up and electrifying the room and turning DC around a little bit, that's a special moment, seeing her and everyone saying, hey, this paid off, and you know, you turned our thing, stuff around, and hopefully they give her a huge role, you know, with these Justice League reshoots and all that, because Snyder left. And these are these interesting little things and big moments that punch up your experience leading up to a movie. So, to me, get her coming out and what she accomplished with Patty Jenkins, it's a big deal in the nerd world.
So you're saying if it's just PR lip service, that's okay because she was there
Because her walking out and getting that love from the crowd is just electrifying. You don't get that in a trailer. So the whole fan experience is not about watching a movie. It's the lead up. It's the hype. It's the seduction of what they're going to show. It's you collecting comic books that accompany the theatrical experience. All these movies are backed by decades of comics. So these fans are bringing all of that in there. They're not just in there to watch 2 minutes of footage. If that was it, why go to Hall H? It's not worth it. You got to bring something to it, and they got to give it back to you. And they give fans love when they're there. You can feel it. It's really, really cool. When someone like her walks out, it's a big deal.
I want to interject real quick. For more thoughts on Wonder Woman, tune into last week's episode on feminism. Now back to this week's show. Sean, you were saying?
I think I kind of lost my train of thought. I think, you could feel the energy from most of the cast. I mean, this is like, it's kind of like their big break, and they do have something to prove. Because like I said, you know, Wonder Woman, it could have been a flop, and it, you know, they did a really good job with it. Aquaman obviously is not an A-lister in a lot of people's minds, but you know, the footage we saw, it looked really cool. I'm interested to see you know, what they do with that. You know, do they, you know, it looks like Jason Momoa is bringing a lot of some humor and a lot of passion into it. So, you know, hopefully it's not just another like grim, dark, you know, Superman type movie. Hopefully, you know, they it gives these guys a chance to like show their personality and this kind of thing. So
now, cool. As someone who I know has dressed as Aquaman before,
I'm a big Aquaman fan.
Are you?
I'm an Aqua fan. Thanks, guys. I'll be here all week.
That killed down there. That was a good one.
Yeah, they loved it. They loved that joke down there.
Down under, right?
But
I was going to say, how do you feel about the reimagining of Aquaman? Because Jason Momoa is not the green trunk-wearing, blonde-haired surfer guy from the Justice League cartoon.
Right. I like it. I mean, I think, you know, when I heard he was cast, I was like, oh, okay, that's really, it's like incongruous or whatever. But I don't know. He seemed to really love like playing this character and stuff when he was talking about it up in Hall H, and I'm interested to see what he brings. Yeah.
Now, real quick on Justice League, I watched the trailer. Other than the Zack Snyder-y look of the trailer, one thing I didn't really buy into is the Flash's character, because it seemed too much like the new Spider-Man character. And I don't know what age range the Flash is playing in this movie, and I don't watch the Flash show to see how he's portrayed there. I don't know if you guys have thoughts on the Flash's performance in the Justice League trailer, or if anything was said about the idea of the character.
There wasn't a lot said about it. It's clearly a demographic casting, so they're going for this young comic relief. I mean, Superman and Batman are the heavies. Wonder Woman's a pretty serious character, and Flash and Cyborg are the young kids that are in the Justice League, and they're there for comedic relief. I'm a little concerned about that. But DC's trying to make money off everybody. The old fans, little kids, they need light moments in it. The Flash is definitely going to be comedy relief. Batman and Flash have scenes together, so Batman's going to be the kid, you got to do this and be serious. And then the kid's going to have to learn how to be a superhero, or he's probably going to be put in tough situations. This is probably a lot like Spider-Man and Tony Stark in Homecoming. It's the same dynamic. It's a little hokey. Like, yeah, I wasn't impressed with Justice League.
No.
So, unless Wonder Woman has a big role in it, and I need to hear about that, I may not even see it. So,
yeah, I think it's actually a bit, it's sad that we've been talking about Justice League so long, because I don't think any of us were like, oh man.
Yeah, that was probably like my least favorite from the Warner Brothers panel was probably Justice League. It just seemed like the trailers, it was really hard to gauge actually what the movie was going to be like, because at times it seemed gimmicky, but then at other times I thought, oh, that looks kind of cool. So I don't know, it's kind of up and down. I don't really know what to expect from it.
Yeah.
And one thing I'd add too is I know you wanted to not talk so much about the specifics of everything, because we saw probably 10 million or did 10 million things on top of Hall H. So Hall H is a badge of honor that I try to wear, or dishonor if you don't get in. But I try to do that one time a year if Star Wars or Marvel is there. And all the other days are not in Hall H. Anyone that does Hall H every day, they're crazy. It's a lot to go through. They don't show enough stuff there that I think would be worth. So the the talk about us paying a price for 15 hours and sitting through some stuff you see on the internet, for me it pays off if I do it once on the biggest days. But the day before it was Game of Thrones and Walking Dead. I've done that a bunch of years, so I don't want to go back and do that again. And I wouldn't want to do Hall H 2 days in a row. So we, when we're down there, we're mixing up going out and partying, meeting up with people, eating at good restaurants,
doing
off-site stuff, which I think we should talk about because this was a different year for that. Going to the Conan O'Brien show.
Yeah.
Walking the floor, shopping, meeting small artists, actually buying comic books.
Running into people like Andy Serkis.
Yeah. Running into Andy Serkis, which we should talk about, which is a big brand. So what I like about Comic-Con is Hall H is a scripted experience. You're going to suffer. You're going to be in there and hopefully see something good. And WB had some... Spielberg was there and Gosling, Harrison Ford. There's some really cool moments in there. But people really focus on Hall H because of how hard it is to get into and how, what the big stuff is and A-listers that come out of it. But the Comic-Con is an experience that has everything wrapped up. And Hall H gets talked about a lot. But I think everything else that you can do is almost more interesting. And that's what we did. We did a lot of stuff. Hall H was a very small portion of what we did.
Yeah, that's a good segue because that's going to be my next topic is beyond Hall H, you know, there is the main floor, which is where you can buy your merchandise, your swag, and whatnot. What else is there at Comic-Con to attract fans or even non-fans who are someone who is just looking, you know, because I do think Comic-Con is something everyone should experience at least once because it is just... If
you can get in.
If you can get in, yeah. So,
well, even smaller Comic-Cons, though, was like, you know, any Comic-Con.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, I've, you know, when I used to live here in Southern California, we went, I've been to WonderCon with, I think all you guys at various points. I've been to Star Wars Celebration. Eric and I went, and that was awesome. I mean,
it's amazing.
I mean, there's always, and those are actually pretty big, but even stepping back from that.
Don't forget Stanley's
Kamikaze. Stanley's
Kamikaze. In the parking lot of the convention center.
That's right.
Where you got to meet Howard the Duck.
I got to meet the guy inside the Howard the Duck suit, guys, and I talked to him for like 20 minutes.
It's not a suit.
It doesn't get bigger than that.
No, it was
other
an
than
actual duck.
Duck inside of a suit.
Just me talking to a duck the whole time. And then, in fact, that wasn't even Howard the Duck. It was just a duck. Sorry. Yeah. You know, I think Haley might actually be able to speak a little more on this because she's the newest person, you know, into the comic book convention. But I would say, like, for me, when I first started going, it's just like, I actually went because I'm a huge animation fan when I first started going. And I love the Venture Brothers. And I've seen those guys, I think, five out of the 6 times I've been there. Haley and I sat in the animation panel and got to see, we've been there for Bob's Burgers, we've been there for Adventure Time, Rick and Morty, that was huge, Steven Universe, all sorts of things. So, I mean, that was just like one small part of the experience too. And I think, you know, the other thing is, like Eric's been saying, you run into people down there, like you make friends. We were laughing the entire time we were down there, which is awesome. And then, We had some really cool interactions with some celebrities that I really feel like Johnny should talk about.
Yeah, let's talk about what happened randomly.
I like how you say Haley could talk about this, and then you just talk about
it. Okay, let's stop. We'll get to Johnny. Let's let Haley speak.
I was opening up all sorts of lines that you could go here. Come on.
It's like you opened the door, and then you slammed it in my face.
No. All the doors were open.
He remembered. No one understands you.
Yeah. Like, oh, great.
No, she can't talk. No one will understand.
Okay, Haley.
Yeah, well...
Being not only the newest, but the youngest person in this group, my first question is, were you into this fandom prior to meeting Sean?
Well, I would say I was definitely, like, a fan of a lot of the animation shows that they have at Comic-Con. You know, I watched all of the, like, Avengers movies and, like, Iron Man and all that kind of thing. But I guess I wasn't really aware of these huge conventions that they have here in the States because in Australia, I mean, they're laughable, really, once you've been to the ones over here. Like, they're just so... They're very tiny and there's not really much happening at them. So... I was enjoying all of this stuff, but I didn't really know very much about conventions. But the
real quick though, when you go to an Australian convention, how much does Yahoo Serious charge for an autograph and photo?
It's Yahoo Serious versus Paul Hogan fighting for attention.
Who is Yahoo Serious?
Yeah, exactly.
Did you just make that up?
Don't you remember Young Einstein?
No.
No one does.
All right, it'll be a Razzie movie someday.
Anyway.
Anyway, back to you.
So the first time I went, I only had a badge for one day. And it just happened to be the day that all of the animation panels were on, which is what I really liked. So we, you know, we went to these animation panels, but then also just like, for the first time that you ever go to that exhibition, like the floor, oh my gosh, it's just so like overwhelming. There's so much going on. There are so many people. There's comics. There's like big, you know, like the Fox booth and like AMC and, you know, the Star Wars booth. There's just so much happening. It's just, even just going and walking on the floor is just such a crazy experience to have. And you just never know who you're going to see. You've got all these cosplayers, which is really awesome. You know, I think even just that one experience for me was something that really drew me in, because there's nothing else like it anywhere, I don't think. Like, it's just so crazy and overwhelming, and, you know, they have anything that you are into is there. Like, you could be really into anime, or you could be really into, like, The Walking Dead, or you could be really into, you know, traditional, like, Superman comics or whatever. Like, they just have everything there that you could possibly want, and it's just, it's, there's nothing like it, I think. So for me, when I first had that experience, I was like, man, this is awesome. Like, I loved it. That's what really drew me in, I think.
And you keep coming back, so
yeah,
apparently
yeah.
It worked.
Yeah.
Okay, Johnny, it's been hinted at. I don't know the story, so
no,
let's hear.
This is your podcast, and you shouldn't let Sean dictate.
Oh, no, I was just saying. Just talking about, you know, the experience.
Yeah,
down there.
I am curious to hear this story now. So
it's not really all that an exciting story.
Well, make it exciting.
But, okay,
you can lie.
I'll do my best.
Exaggerate.
Listen, if Andy Serkis walks right past you, would you just let him walk past you and go, oh, my God, that's Andy Serkis, and just let it go?
Would you, I mean, most people even recognize Andy Serkis outside, unless he's wearing a mocap suit?
Right, that's true. I guess I've seen enough interviews with him that, of course, I know who he is now.
Well, set the tail. We're leaving. We're going, I believe, weren't we going home?
We're going back to the hotel room.
And there's nobody really walking. The convention center is shut down. This is midday.
Yeah, we're right in front of the convention center. We're on the sidewalk there, right?
Yeah,
in
just
front.
Ready to go home to our hotel.
And he walked past us. And I was like, oh my God, you guys, that was Andy Serkis. And yes, I had a little bit of liquid courage in me. But I didn't want to let that opportunity pass up. So I just did a turnaround and just asked him, you know, said, hey, I just want to let you know that I'm a huge fan and I think you're amazing and thank you for all that you do. And I asked him for a hug, and he generously gave me a hug, and we got our picture taken with him. And
you're being polite. We kind of attacked him at that point.
Well, I was going to say, yeah, you are being a little polite, Johnny. As I recall, you, like, tackled him to the ground.
Yeah, I tackled him to the ground. Yeah, he would let me do that, right?
Yeah. No, I told him that I hope he gets an Oscar for War for the Planet of the Apes. He, at some point with one of us, said, Apes Together Strong.
Yep.
He was super nice. He's one of my favorite people in the industry, one of the most talented. And that's completely unscripted, and you take a minute here, a minute there, that doesn't happen. And we were buzzing off of that for quite a while that night. This happens all the time over there. If you go enough years, those experiences stack together. And like I said earlier, it's about the unscripted at San Diego. You can write down everything you want on your schedule, but you never know what friend you're going to see. I ran into a friend from work coming out of some very strange panel. I ran into a video game designer that made my favorite video game in the 80s. He was wearing a crown. His name is Lord British. All the random, strange stuff. We saw Dan Harmon at a bar. We saw one of the Conan band members at another bar. It's all this random experience that isn't about sitting in a room and just watching footage. And that doesn't get talked about enough. It's a social, unscripted experience. And we have other experiences that we had at offsites that we can talk about that are very unique as well. A Mr. Robot one that will stand out as one of the best ones that we've ever been to. And we can get into that later if you want. But we had a very intense experience led into a room, and being interrogated, basically out of a scene from Mr. Robot. And that doesn't happen at other conventions. You're basically kind of in a movie at that point. Yeah, there's a lot of unscripted moments there, and it's really, really cool. They don't happen at the other conventions anywhere near that degree, so.
Yeah, I know in years past, you know, I was walking through the hotel and walked past Robert Pattinson.
So sparkly.
Yeah. And he sparkles in real life. It's really weird. Yeah,
super creepy.
But you'd only know that if you met
him in
person.
Yeah, and I mean, right, walking down the street, walk past Lou Ferrigno, you know, it's just... Mm-hmm. My thing this year, my jealous point, is not even comic related, but I know Eric got to meet Ric Flair, and... and I saw a photo of Flair posted a picture on Twitter that he and his wife or girlfriend were just out taking one of the bike pedal carts around downtown San Diego. I'm like, that would have been awesome. Yeah.
I didn't even know Ric Flair was going to be there until you told me he was going to be there. So that's another one of those moments where I'm walking the floor, I'm pretty much ready to leave. Then you're like, hey, he's going to be there. I'm like, when? And then I rushed down there. He happened to leave early. And then I went back the next day and met him. And think about, you're meeting this guy that you love on these wrestling shows your whole life, and he's just sitting right there, and you get to support him with a little bit of money. And that's happening all over the place. Like, what was the story with Nichelle Nichols? Was it that someone bumped into her in the bathroom and helped her with...
I didn't hear that story.
Oh, so Yujiro was in... We're waiting in Hall H, and then Yujiro was in one of the restaurants, and one of our friends meets up with her and helps pick up something and has a conversation with that... Again, that stuff happens all over the place, and it's really amazing to meet your heroes like a Ric Flair. You know, if you spot a Stan Lee or a Frank Miller, they're not going to the other conventions sometimes. So all that stuff in between, all the media writers are writing about the big celebrity stuff, but they're not writing about all the other stuff that glues the experience together. That's what we have. And like Sean mentioned, it's a lot of laughs. It's a lot of fun. And we've met a score of friends coming out of these conventions, and we see them there every year. And it's incredible. It's just something that I think everyone should do if they're into pop culture. Any facet of pop culture.
Okay, so you've hinted at it a few times. Let's talk about the offsite, because I think most people think, you know, Comic-Con is just in the convention center. And I know over the last probably 3-4 years, there has grown a free... area outside, because I remember, Sean, one year you and I went, I think 4 or 5 years ago, where in the middle of the afternoon we got bored and we just went, we were like walking outside behind the convention center on like the grassy knoll, and like, oh, let's just, you know, take a nap.
Yeah, we just took a
nap together. We just laid down on the grass. And
I mean, there's
nothing wrong with that.
A little spooning. Nerd spoon.
Yeah. But now,
before Haley, so yeah. Don't get too jealous.
Oh, not at all.
But now, like this year, that area was taken over by Fox and FX, and they had several booths promoting their shows and whatnot. There's also a Walking Dead, like, zombie cages set up outside. I believe Stranger Things had something set up. Mm-hmm. So how much... What... How do I want to say that? What is their offsite? Because I know you guys also talk about parties. Yeah. Going to parties after, which is something I've not been invited to. Thanks a lot, guys. but what is... Okay, so once the con is over, what then is the entertainment options?
Oh, well, I mean, the off-sites, there are so many we couldn't even get to them all. I mean, there's something for everyone. They're kind of talking about, like, pop culture and stuff. You got, like, Adult Swim. There's a huge Rick and Morty presence there, which is awesome. Obviously, Netflix was huge there this year with Stranger Things. Walking Dead, we did an off-site with Blade Runner. It was like a VR experience. And then, like, you get to walk around basically on the set of Blade Runner. And there's, like, characters walking around and you interact with them. And, like, you're getting frisked by police and stuff. It's pretty...
It was awesome.
It's crazy. Haley and I went to, like Broad City, which you wouldn't think of as a nerd comic convention type thing. But, you know, we did this big Broad City off-site thing. Mm. So, I mean...
And they had a panel there, too.
They had a panel. I mean... It's really grown beyond, it's really a pop culture thing. It's not really even, like, I wouldn't even say nerdy anymore. I mean, you look at, like, how many people are watching Game of Thrones? It's not just, like, nerds, you know? It's, like, you know, millions of people are watching this and talking about it. So it's really grown beyond the kind of, I mean, I know we made the virginity joke before, but I mean, you know, you're walking around, Harrison Ford's there, you know, stuff like that. Ryan Gosling, you know, you bump into these people, it's insane.
Well, they were talking about this was the year of the offsite.
Yeah, yes.
This was the year of the offsite, so a lot of these things don't even require badges, which I think did cause a lot of congestion. So the only real negative is we had like a 3 to 4 hour wait for Blade Runner because the experience was so long and it was amazing once you get in there. All the other offsites that I went to, and I went to probably 8, were fun and they were a lot quicker. But those are for people that don't have badges. Maybe they should require them so that we don't have to sit in those lines, but probably nice for the locals. And again, it's almost like a mini theme park thing, so you get to experience whatever they're promoting. And you get to walk in that world for a little bit. So this is something that just started happening 5, 6, 7 years ago. And that's another thing, along with panels, and along with the nightlife, and along with autographs, and along with merchandise. These are all these sections I put on my schedule for when I get burned out on one or can't do one, I do the other. And everyone there is alternating, and you call your friends, where are you at? Where is the line at? So it's a very varied experience there. And there was a lot of offsites because I think a lot of the studios are deciding we can promote our stuff everywhere. Every piece of land has some offsite.
Well, and with the offsites too, for people who can't get badges, you have access to more people. So it actually makes sense then to promote offsite.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well,
I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, go ahead, Jane.
There are people with their families there that just came in for the day. No. So yeah, they didn't get in. But their kids are dressed up in Batman outfits. And
good day.
Thank you, you do the same.
We're in Disneyland for our listeners.
We just got in this pay parking.
We're parking.
But the offsites are a little bit of a double-edged sword, and we were having this conversation as we were driving home yesterday. Is it's fantastic you can reach all these other people outside of the convention and people who can't get badges and stuff. But you know, a lot of people pay a lot of money. Haley and I flew 15,000 kilometers. We didn't come here to stand in more lines. You know what I mean? So
that's a lot more miles or less miles. We're in America. We don't know kilometers.
Right. Well.
Yeah, pause the podcast.
I can't.
Whatever it is.
Yeah. You can convert it yourself if you want to know.
Learn something, kids. It's called the internet. But it's a bit of a double-edged sword because, you know, a lot of people fly a lot of, you know, come from all over the world and pay a lot of money to get there. And then, you know, some people just kind of show up and they're able to go into these other things. And, of course, that's awesome.
Yeah, Chad.
Right, Chad. You deadbeat freeloader.
Technically, the only thing I went into was the American Horror Story Zoetrope. Oh. So I suffered through that, okay?
Was it good?
It was lame.
Uh-huh. Oh, well. But, you know, you kind of reach a broader audience, but you kind of risk, like, you know, kind of pissing off these people who are, you know, they're diehard fans that have, you know, been up, you know, months ago they were up at 2 a.m. in Australia trying to get badges, you know what I mean? So, look, I think it's a great thing personally, but yeah, a lot of people, you know, we stood in line for like 3 hours to get into something, and it's like, man.
Definitely the most bodies I've ever seen there.
Yeah.
It was the most crowded. It was the most crowded.
I was going to say, how crowded was the floor? Because I know the last time I was there was 2 years ago. And I think one of the major problems is the way the floor is set up is, like, you have all the comic book stuff at one end, which, sadly, most people are not interested in anymore. And then you have, like, all your, like, Fox, Marvel, Warner Brothers, everything is set in the same area. And that's what's attracting people, and I think that congests people. So how was the floor this year?
It was horrible.
It's insane.
I think everything that I saw there, not just the floor, was the worst I've ever seen it. Everybody there, vets, were talking about it. It was the most congested. I think it's just gotten bigger and bigger every year. And with all the offsites without badges and the hype over the con, it just seems like even in places you would normally, like the floor has a certain amount of people there. But I think because so many big studios weren't doing as much as they normally do, that traffic went on the floor. And they're doing so many signings on the floor, they're lining up hundreds and thousands of people in the middle of the floor to meet and do stuff, which causes you to have to walk around them. So they need to kind of work that out a little bit better.
Oh,
The lines are insane.
Lady?
What?
Gotta straighten out.
Since we're arriving, should we pause? And
yeah, well, and we have just arrived at Disneyland. We'll be back in 12 hours and pick it up and discuss more cons and the difference of other cons. So
the pros and cons.
We'll be right back after this commercial break.
Hi, this is Greg Mahochko, the co-founder of the Jittery Monkey Podcast Network and host of the Nerds United Podcast. And what will you hear on the Nerds United Podcast? Well, you'll hear conversations with me and artists or writers, creators of comic books. You'll hear panel discussions from some various regional comic cons. You'll hear cosplay. You'll have celebrity interviews. It all happens here on Nerds United. You never know what to expect. Sometimes you might just get into a half hour of me rambling aimlessly, sometimes with a little aim, kind of like guys in the urinals. And never mind. But you'll get some ramblings of me, my thoughts, and maybe even some suggestions on some books to read. Pick up at your local comic book store. That's where it all starts, your local comic book store. So head on over there, grab a handful of comics, and put on Nerds United, either in the car or while you're reading, and enjoy the show.
Ugh, your listeners are so dumb. Oh, hey.
Hey, so that was quite an adventure at Disneyland. You know, we were talking earlier, had to stop to go to Disneyland, and now it's actually, I think, like 3 days later, and we're picking this up because Disneyland was such an exhausting...
Hey, it was so epic.
It was. If you have not been to Disneyland,
go. Go.
So now we've gathered the team. We've assembled the Justice League back, the Comic-Con League.
How dare you, Avengers. Avengers assemble.
Oh, true. See, I'm so out of my element.
You nerd.
So we're gathered at Eric and Johnny's home, around their dinner table. And if you hear any noise in the background, that is their dog being playfully trying to join into this conversation, because I think they have a lot to say about Comic-Con weekend as well. But let's jump back into the conversation. Before the commercial break, we were discussing... we discussed the social aspect of Comic-Con, the off-site stuff. Let's get more into the real meat of Comic-Con, and that is collecting. Dottie has a lot to say. She is a huge collector.
Sit down.
Collects victims.
But one of the aspects of Comic-Con is obviously the exclusive merchandise that you can buy there, along with all the other... you know, merch that is set up, like bootleg. Like, you know, last time I went, I got a bootleg copy of Wonder Woman Pilot, which I don't know if you've ever seen.
I have seen it. We tried to watch it, and it was not good.
It is horrible. I finally
Linda Carr is in it, so it's not all bad.
I enjoyed it, but it was reminiscent of childhood. So.
Yeah,
we didn't finish it. Don't front.
Well, only because we were going to see the movie.
All right.
See, I watched it after seeing the movie, and yeah, it was just like I can see why this
been a disappointment.
Yes,
yeah.
Although. Wonder Woman running down Hollywood Boulevard is just something that you see pretty much on a daily basis if you go to Hollywood Boulevard.
We were actually just on Hollywood Boulevard today.
Like,
I think we saw. Yeah, I think we saw her. She's asking for change.
Two or three scrawny older Wonder Womans.
Yeah.
Johnny Depp Wonder Womans. It's all the same.
Yeah, it is.
Anyway, so I know Eric, you are a huge collector.
Yes, sir.
You are the Benicio del Toro of this group.
I am the collector.
See, comic reference, kids.
Nice.
I like it.
What is your experience with collecting at Comic-Con?
Well, there are huge lines. It's Funko, Hasbro, Mattel that need tickets, and I won't do those. I don't do toy lines that are hours. I think it's a waste of time. If I have someone, like I did last year, that had it in on Funko, I give them a list, which was awesome. But I have to draw the line on two-hour toy lines. I buy collectibles, toys, figurines all over. I'm importing Godzillas from Japan. I bought... two or three collectibles this year off eBay because people are waiting hours in line, and the ones that are lesser are available on eBay. I've had friends that waited in the Hasbro line for 12 hours. It was on eBay for the same price when they got back from the convention because people are trying to flip it. So I don't know the collectible game as much in San Diego. I think it's a zoo. It's a lot of hype. 10 years ago, two booths were doing it. Now everyone's like putting a sticker on it. So Funko puts a sticker and says, this is San Diego, but it's the exact same thing in Hot Topic. It has a different sticker on the box. So I don't play into that. I think it's a waste of time. Some of it's really valuable. I saw Funko stuff. The Ren Snippy is going for $200. The Conans are going for $300. So I don't get into waiting for those lines. My collecting is done out of Comic-Con. I have a list of about 10 to 15 booths to buy stuff. I bought a Wonder Woman from QMX. I walked right in, bought it. And if I go to another place like Entertainment Earth and that line is around and around, I don't do it. I went to the Peanuts booth to buy a $4 lanyard. The line was 2 hours to buy a lanyard. I just jump out of that line. I don't do it. I got to draw the line on a multi-hour line to buy a $20 piece of plastic. I can buy those outside because I collect outside of the convention all over, you know, all the time. So that's not a good place for me collecting.
Gotcha.
It's a zoo.
So standing in line for 16 hours to get into a panel is okay, but 4 hour line or 2 hour line to buy something isn't, but you can also buy the stuff, like you said, outside of Comic-Con.
Something
you can,
similar or something maybe even better. Maybe something at a smaller convention. So what if you go to WonderCon? What if you go to Kamikaze or in SoCal? So the collecting game is strong around here at the smaller convention. So why go to the worst, biggest place and sit in those lines to buy plastic? If I'm going to sit in a line, maybe I'll see a celebrity. Maybe I'll see a trailer. We saw footage from Black Panther, which we talked about. Stuff that isn't seen anywhere else won't be seen until the movie comes out. To me, that's worth it. You're paying a price, you're getting something else. But sitting in line for a box, a $20 good or whatever, I think those people are trying to flip it. Mm-hmm. When they get out, they have huge bags, they're shipping it back to where they're coming from, and then they're trying to dump it on Monday or Tuesday this week. And it's so yeah, I'd much rather sit in the line for a panel than sit in line for a collectible. I could probably get something better later.
So, yeah, it's like one thing is a material.
Yeah.
Plus, you've sat in those lines where you've gotten denied or they've ran out of stuff or you've gotten in line for the tickets and the tickets have ran out and then you've stood in line for all that time and then you didn't even think you'd wasted all that time. So
yeah.
We talked for nothing.
Yeah, Comic-Con, time is currency. It isn't your money. It's how much time you're going to put into it. And if you spend your time in a dumb way, that currency doesn't go very far. So people spend 16 hours to get a ticket to get a Transformer. Well, there goes your Friday. Mm-hmm. Not interesting to me as a collector. I collect way outside of that, you know, of that realm.
Okay. So transitioning off of Comic-Con for a second, because you brought up, you know, we're here in Los Angeles, Southern California. So you have Comic-Con, you've got WonderCon, you've got D23, Stan Lee's Kamikaze, all these different cons.
Long Beach Comic-Con.
What, obviously, Comic-Con, San Diego is the biggest, you know, in terms of size and promotional stuff from all studios and television stations, whatnot, networks. What are the pros and cons of San Diego versus some of these smaller cons?
What do you guys think?
Well, I think nothing can ever beat the experience of going to the San Diego Comic-Con. It's just, it's incredible in every way. I mean, just the amount of people and the energy, the celebrities that are there. I mean, the things that they premiere there and stuff. Because, I mean, they're not premiering, you know, these big movies or TV shows at, like, WonderCon or Kamikaze or anything like that. So, I mean, there's a lot of exclusives, you know, toys like Eric was just talking about, that kind of stuff. I mean, so that's one of the reasons. It's like going to it's like the holy grail of comic book pop culture conventions, you know, because I know Eric's been to Emerald City and I've been to one in Portland. I've been to one in St. Louis before. I think everyone here has been to Kamikaze and WonderCon and Star Wars Celebration, and I mean, all those things have their own unique things, but San Diego just kind of takes everything and multiplies it and, you know, makes it bigger and amplifies it. It's insane.
Yeah, I think amplification is the word. So, you know, I was on Facebook today and a lot of people, like, I was new and what's the big deal about SDCC versus NYCC versus WonderCon? Every other Comic-Con can be put in one category. They're knockoffs of San Diego. They're sometimes in great venues. They have 80 to 100,000 people. They have some people show up for them, some celebrities, some of the bigger artists. Well, San Diego would be the one that you pick all year where everything is satisfied and amplified all the way to level 100. And all the other conventions, if you go there, some of them, I'd say most of them, you go there and you go to your convention, you come back to your hotel or your house. San Diego, the whole convention is exploding downtown. So there's no end to it. It just kind of reverberates across the whole downtown area. It's very condensed. So all the culture, all the excitement is right there, and all the opportunities that Sean was just talking about, all those people are showing up pretty much at the San Diego Comic-Con. They want max visibility. Even obscure artists show up only at San Diego Comic-Con because they can get lines that are big, because if they go to Emerald City and they're obscure, they might get 3 people in line. If they go to San Diego, they might get 200 people in line, because the multiplying of all the people that have heard of them are going to be down there. I still think San Diego is in a category that is absolutely separate from all the other ones. And I've gone to all these other ones. I go to 5 or 6 of them a year. They don't even add up to a tenth of the Comic-Con. I would say if you're going to spend your money, save all the small ones, do the big one at least once, and then evaluate the smaller ones after the fact. You'll notice the difference right away. It's instant. You feel it. The energy is insane. The amount of opportunities to go to do things is insane. I don't think there's any comparison. Even in the biggest conventions like New York, it's not the same. It is something you do have to go and see for yourself. It's really hard to describe. And all of us in this room, I experience it every year. It's incredible.
All right. Well, so this year, let's take that. What were your top 5 moments of this year's Comic-Con? And what were your top 5 low moments?
Oh, my God.
Besides no Jar Jar Binks.
No, Josh, that was...
Did we see Jar Jar?
No. God, no. We did at Disneyland, unfortunately. That's what made Chad sick. Yeah. Yeah.
I could do a top 5 either way. Maybe we can make it a top 3 or 2.
I don't know.
You guys have 5 of each, I can do 5 of each.
I'm trying to think. Top.
One of my top things was the symphony.
Absolutely.
We went and saw the San Diego Symphony, and they were doing like a tribute to John Williams and all of his famous scorings that he'd done. Mm. And it was like, we were like, 8 rows back from the front or something. And it was just one of those things that, I don't know, it really...
Was that at Petco Park?
No, this was at the actual...
The San Diego
Symphony. Where they have their symphony shows.
Yeah, it's Cope... I'm butchering it. Copley Hall or it's
something. Yeah, I think it was. Like
I think I'm messing up the name, but...
Yeah. That was awesome, okay. Yeah.
It was kind of weird because, normally when you think about going to a symphony, you think of like... very subdued crowd, but being Comic-Con fans.
We were dressed up.
The previous party at the symphony was the Star Wars party, right?
Yeah.
So there was people cosplaying in Star Wars outfits, and then of course they were playing the John Williams score.
And I was dressed like Han Solo, and Haley was dressed like Death Trooper, and
R2 was running around.
R2-D2 was running around. Yeah,
but like the way the crowd was like cheering and stuff, it was just really bizarre because I don't think that those people would ever have had a crowd like that before. Like, everyone normally just plays.
Yeah, the musicians.
there were the woo-woos and just like
screaming.
It was just really bizarre, but it was awesome, and they did like a fantastic job, and that was one of my big highlights.
We wanted more, and then they finally just were like, nope, we're done.
We're out.
That's one of those things that happens down there where we heard about it beforehand, tickets went pretty quickly, and all of a sudden you're sitting in front and you're hearing perfect fidelity classical music of everything you love. They're not playing a video board, but they do it. Hollywood Bowl for the John Williams thing. And I've seen John Williams there. Probably the best live sound I've ever heard was at the San Diego Symphony. And can you hear that in other places in that kind of fandom area? No. We just had to be at the right place at the right time. John and Dottie's playing Jingle Bells. Anyway, that was a great moment. Sean, what do you got?
One of the things I've ever said, I think for me, it's about like the company you go with, and being down there with, Haley and I traveled from Australia to be here, to hang out with our friends. And I know you were down there, and unfortunately we didn't get a meet up this time, but we've been down there together 3 or 4 times, I want to say. I mean, it's always... You go with your group of friends that you share these passions with, and you just have a good time. And to me, I mean, that's always going to be number one. It's being with like your friends that you have this passion for pop culture or whatever with, and being able to experience that together is number one.
That's kind of sappy.
Ah, you got okay. Well,
no, piggybacking on that that though, but making other friends, like you meet right. Like you connect with other people there too. That then you'll like. That's how Eric McLarry, who was with
then,
us.
Yeah, and then
there.
We
like
hung out with Larry, and yeah, that was awesome. And
then we get to meet his friends that are all Connors as well. Like
You just kind of grow your social circle of your fandom friends or whatever you want to call it. So yeah. And, you know, on the opposite side, you know,
what's your low point?
Low point? Oh, just,
low.
I mean...
We all know what Sean's low point was.
I think the company.
Blade Runner.
That Blade Runner. Yeah, the company was the worst.
I know what their low point was. Tell us what the low point was.
Yeah, I mean, I think I mean, to me, the lines are always going to be a low point. And we stood in one line, we were there for, 4 hours?
Yeah.
That was like a hindsight mistake, though, because we could have done that the entire time we were there.
Yeah, we kind of...
Well, because originally we thought what was going to happen was we would get there and they would give us a time to come back.
Yeah.
But then it turned out we were just standing in line and we were there for 4 hours.
Because
it seemed like it was moving kind of quickly at first.
Yeah, we were close to the beginning. We're like, oh, we'll be there in no time.
Yeah, and then it took 4 hours and it was... I mean, the experience was amazing in the end, but it just meant that we...
We lost hours and we missed other things that we wanted to do.
I missed a panel.
We paid a heavy price.
Yeah.
Missed the Kingsman panel.
And was it worth it? Probably not. Not 4 hours for that.
No.
So we kind of got our ass knocked back on... That was Thursday, right?
Mm-hmm.
That was
Thursday morning.
Yeah.
So second day we were there after another day. But anyway, it was a low point. What about you, Johnny? Highs and lows?
Well, I would say that experience was one of the highs and the lows, because once we got in there and had the experience, like, that was, like, one of the best experiences I had at the con, was
that
where
was
they
cool.
recreated the world of Blade Runner. It was just, like, amazing. I could have spent a lot of time in there and just, like, taking it all in. I didn't want to be rushed through that, so I felt like, I mean, I don't know if 4 hours was worth it, but it was definitely worth the wait, worth a wait. to get in there. But I am sorry that we missed the Kingsman panel. You guys missed your panel.
Oh,
yeah.
But
that one hurts.
Yeah.
Big fan of the Kingsman.
Yeah.
Well, I can give you a ton of highs and lows, but
the
highs were the company that's in this room and all the laughter and fun.
Plus Larry,
who's not here. I would say spotting the Kingsman behind the Conan O'Brien line. I would say going to the Conan O'Brien show, which is my absolute favorite thing. Seeing the Infinity War footage, which is absolutely incredible. Seeing Black Panther footage, which will not be released until the movie's out. Seeing Charlize Theron doing this extended fight scene in Atomic Blonde and talk about women's empowerment. And she made a very convincing case about everything she was talking about and just came off wonderfully. And, the lows, the Blade Runner experience was pretty bad as far as the waits. The waits, I thought this was the most packed Comic-Con ever. They have to do something about it, but everybody wants to go, and people that don't have badges are going. It's kind of mucking up stuff for the badge holders. But then the locals need to do that stuff. So there wasn't many lows, though, because everything is so wonderful around it. If you just keep... The whole thing is, if you can keep going from 8 all the way to 2 in the morning, you're going to have lots of highs. Meeting Andy Serkis, we talked about.
Andy, that was awesome.
That was a big guy. Those random kind of encounters.
Cosplaying.
Cosplaying. And then seeing, like, I remember we were walking behind Hall H, and I saw, for the first time, I think, 2 or 3 younger kids in wheelchairs doing their cosplay. And I was like, oh, my God, they're taking...
Were they Professor X?
No, no one's Professor X.
No, I didn't see any Professor X.
No, they're, like, decorated.
But they were, like, the best
cosplayers,
and they were disabled, and they were... You know, behind the ADA line or whatever for Hall H, and they were like the stars.
Yeah.
And then seeing the smile on all the kids' faces, the kids were like, "What's that, mommy? What's that, daddy?" And all those generations handing it down. And there's not a lot of lows going to Comic Con if you're a pop culture fan of, you know, so. But I think the company is number one. If you go down there in a singular experiment and you're just going, "I'm going to go to this panel, I'm going to go to that panel," now you got to be around people, you got to meet people. And it makes everything fun and everything tolerable. All those hours in line, all the sun you're soaking in. So, I think meeting Andy Serkis, number one, though.
That was pretty cool.
And the company.
Yeah.
And the company.
I really feel like there weren't very many low points.
No.
It was just constant fun.
Yeah.
Just awesome experiences. That, I mean, the Blade Runner thing was really the only thing that I think about that was a low point.
Donnie's not a fan of
and the New York. Only because we waited in line. The actual experience was awesome. Yeah. It was just the fact that we'd wasted so much time in that line. Mm-hmm. That was the only.
Well, and thank God for Eric for remembering to buy these great Mr. fans. So if we did have to stand in line and be in the heat for any period of time, we had Mr. fans to, like...
But even having fun together and suffering together is important.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So the Comic-Con, it's all... I just think if you squat up and you deal with it, a lot of these people that are complaining online, you kind of have to team up with people. And it's I keep going back, it's a social thing. You don't get that at other conventions. You might meet a friend here or there, mm-hmm. but they're not all going to be coming down from all over the world at one place. That's San Diego.
Oh, yeah.
Well, the other thing is, like, because San Diego is so big, and it, like, it starts from, you know, early in the morning, people lining up, to late at night, people going out and partying, and it's, like, everything in between. It's just so epic that you really do, like, kind of bond a lot more. We're, like, mm-hmm. you know, Kamikaze here in L.A. It's a good convention. I really enjoy it. I've been there a few times. It's cool. It's nice. It's fun, but it's not epic. No one's going to say, oh, that's an epic, you know, thing to go to, but... It's fun, but like San Diego.
Yeah, you're doing stuff from morning to night. From morning to night.
Yeah, you're not just there for the convention, then you leave.
And then you leave, right. You go,
that's a good
point. It's an appointment, it's a triathlon. Mm-hmm. It's an Ironman. And all the bonding. I think you brought up a really good point. When you're stuck in these lines, which everyone complains about, you're meeting people that I've been friends with for years that come to my house that hang out and play with my dogs and go with me on other trips and go with me to movies. And where else do you get that kind of communion where we're all kind of dealing with this stuff together? And you have to experience that. It's just great to go through that fire with all your friends and talk about that stuff. Even spending the night at 4 in the morning, I would meet people and they have their laptops. Oh, this is a new manga. You know, this new anime from Japan. It's just, that's not at other conventions because you go there and you go home. Go there and go home. It's not the same.
Yeah.
Not the same.
All right, I think you guys have made a very convincing argument for someone to check out San Diego Comic-Con. Just be sure to bring a sleeping bag and several five-hour energy booze.
Mm-hmm. Xanax.
Booze.
Xanax, booze, deodorant.
Oh, yeah. Deodorant.
Deodorant, yes.
I took 3 showers a day this year, so.
Thank God.
At our request.
So I guess the obvious question is, will you be going back next year?
Well, we will.
I think for us, coming from Australia, it's very difficult. Mm. So
9,300 miles.
We probably won't be back next year, but we will definitely be back.
We'll be back.
Another,
just not, you know, we've got to save up. You know, time,
money,
energy. I'm going to need at least a year's worth of sleep. I'm falling asleep on this podcast.
What?
So are the listeners.
She's like,
I will go. This is what, our 13th year in a row that we completed?
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to go as long as I can. I could go another 13, no problem. Right. I'm not the oldest guy in the convention. I'm getting there.
Oh, yeah, we saw, like... super old ladies just having
yes.
balls.
Yes.
Oh, man, just all ages.
Yeah,
I'm not there yet.
Yeah.
But I will go every single year until I don't enjoy it anymore, and I've always enjoyed it. It's the number one thing to do. I like it more than traveling internationally, so I'll be there next year.
Okay. So predicting next year, let's say right now. What based on what you know will be coming out, what is the one thing you hope to see next year?
Shorter lines.
There was a big scandal, which I found out about today, about the Hall H wristbands being faked, and 400 people got screwed with legitimate wristbands, but people that printed fake ones. The president of Comic-Con gave out $100,000.
Eddie Ibrahim,
which is, he's a god. He gave $100,000 worth of passes for next year because of this. So I predict next year way more security, way more Hall H stuff, way worse lines.
Yeah.
So the game has to be upped and upped and upped. And the only thing that's saving us is we know a lot of people who are saving spots, and helping out. So next year, I don't know what's going to be there. I think it's in between the Skywalker trilogy. So obviously the Han Solo movie, which is a disaster, would as of now, would already have been shown in May. I don't know what the big movie is. I think Infinity War would have been out in May too.
Yeah.
It could be a light year in Hall H, but the crowds are getting worse and worse and worse. It doesn't. Star Wars skipped this year, and this is the worst I've ever seen it. Marvel is a little bit of a flux here. The worst I've ever seen it. DC is down. This is the worst I've ever seen it. This culture that's going down to Comic-Con is insane. So I think next year, more people, more planning, more get there earlier, and pray that you can get a hotel.
I was just about to say, I would like to see better organization for dispersing hotels to people, because it was absolutely ridiculous this year. Like, nobody knew what was going on. Sean got in really, really quickly, within like 1 minute, and didn't get any of his six preferred hotels. Like, we just barely got a hotel.
They gave me a pretty good hotel because they knew who I was. So.
I think it was next year, just totally. Yeah, it's bananas. And I think to your question about what's going to be next year, the thing about Comic-Con is that I like is that it's random. Every time I go there, it's something completely different. Except we know that the lines and the amount of people are accelerating. The problem is they need to restrict hotels and some offsites to badge holders.
Yeah.
It's a little ridiculous that you buy a badge to a convention and they literally cannot sell you a room to stay in the city that you're going to. So my prediction for next year, pain. And you got to pay a heavy price to go there. It's not easy. So I think it's going to be worse. I think the convention is just trending up. This is the worst I've ever seen it this year. The worst. The lines were insane.
Well, I think you just took the glowing recommendation for Comic-Con over the first 45 minutes of this podcast and just decimated it in the last spot.
The road to Comic-Con is the hardest part. Yeah. Then once your hotel and your badge is sorted, everything else is amazing, right?
Once you get
it's
there.
It's Valhalla.
Yeah.
You have to get there.
You have to put in the legwork.
You got to pay
You got to get up early. You got to, like you were saying in the beginning part of the podcast, like you got to get up at whatever hour you got on.
Yes, if you ask me now, 2018,
it is the luck of the draw,
pain.
Too. And I called it the luck of the Aussie because you're the one who got lucky with the getting the lottery of the hotel.
Well, actually, that was Sean.
I got the Conan.
She got the Conan.
She got badges.
And
she
got badges for other people.
I mean,
That's right.
Yeah, if you know 12 to 15 to 20 people, you got a good shot. That's kind of rough, though. So I think next
year... You're asking us now,
next year, painful, and then ask me in 6 months when a lot of these phases are completed, hotels, badges, hopefully good. But it's tough. It's getting tough to get there. It's everyone wants to get in there. I think they said there's 1+ million people trying for 100,000 badges, and that's only going to increase.
Wow.
Well, I think there's only one thing left to say, and that is to quote the wise wisdom of Ogre from Revenge of the Nerds when he said, "Nerds!"
How dare you, sir?
Anyway, thanks for listening. I think you guys have made the case for, you know, trying to explain Comic-Con to a non-Comic-Con audience, hopefully. If anyone is actually listening to this who does not enjoy Comic-Cons.
Go. You'll enjoy it.
Yes. Go listen. And go listen to Nerds United here on the Jittery Monkey Podcasting Network. And always, you know, hit me up on Twitter, at Chad Smart. No one has hit me up yet. I feel really lonely.
Oh, man.
Hit up Comic-Con people. We'll hit you up.
Tune in hopefully next week, maybe in 2 weeks, 3 weeks. Just subscribe on iTunes and you'll get the latest episode whenever I decide to record one. Thank you to my guest. This has been a riveting conversation. And remember, do something positive.
This is a production of the Jittery Monkey Podcast Network. For more jittery shenanigans, go to jitterymonkey.com.